All right, folks, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to this Ambit Energy Business Builder Conference call. My name is Bear Gordon from Austin, Texas. Hey, I'm an executive consultant with Ambit Energy, and you can be too. Yes, you can. Okay? We do this call every Sunday evening, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Guys, great way to get your Ambit week off to a great start. Come to this call every week. You're going to learn something you can use right now to build your Ambit Energy business, okay? Now, you hear people on the call talking about being registered for Ambition. If you're not, why not? September 2nd through the 5th in Dallas, Texas, our national conference. And if you're serious about your business, you need to be there. Go to your back office, get registered, and then tell your team that you are registered so that they can join you at our national conference. Folks, it's always a pleasure to introduce our featured speaker for the evening. This guy needs no introduction in the world of Ambit Energy. As a matter of fact, he's the top income earner and has been for the last 13 years. On top of that, one of the top 20 income earners in network marketing worldwide. We've got him here with us. Please welcome to the call, founding national consultant, number one income earner, my buddy, Mr. Brian McClure. Brian, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bear. I appreciate that, and I want to thank everybody for taking time out of their day to get on this call, and I couldn't agree more, Bear. You know, it's a great way to start your Ambit week, and with everything that's going on in the world these days with the coronavirus and just all the changes that have occurred in each of our lives, you know, it's really just a great time to for refocus and to really start to get a game plan and make some positive changes. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in the call. But, you know, this week's call, the main purpose of the call is to have an opportunity to visit with a gentleman that I knew back in XL Telecommunications and did a great job back then. And then, you know, got drafted, if you will, by Chris Chambliss to come over to Ambit Energy in the very, very early stages of Ambit's growth. And I'll never forget hearing that Daryl Starkweather was going to come on board at Ambit Energy and how excited I was because, like I said, having served on more advisory boards in the field with XL Telecommunications, I had a great opportunity to work with not only with Daryl, but also very closely with Chris Chambliss, one of the co-founders, as everybody on this call is aware. But Daryl is the VP of field development and support at Ambit Energy. And, you know, the topic of and my purpose in inviting Daryl onto the call is, you know, I heard him a couple of weeks ago on one of the calls talk about the complexities that are coupled with the opportunities that exist in the markets outside of Texas. And I wanted to welcome Daryl Starkweather to the call. Are you here, Daryl?
I am, Brian. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking time away from your family and and working with you throughout the week. You know, it's like, okay, I got a half an hour window here, or I got a 45-minute window here, so I know how busy you are with everything that's going on. So I really appreciate you taking a few minutes away from your family to be with us tonight. And you know, Daryl, last week we, as you're aware of, we had Scott Hudson, president of all of retail for Vistra on the call. And the response was overwhelming. We had the release of the Texas rates on Wednesday. We went live and just the outpouring of positive response was overwhelming from my perspective. Why don't you share a little bit about from your vantage point on the corporate side of those the release of those Texas rates?
Yeah, you know, I was on the call last week, you know, listening to everything being said, and you know, could hear the excitement in yours and Scott's voice, and you know, and we shared that, and you know, we have seen an absolute jump and spike in customer enrollments in Texas because of you know, people getting excited about this product. You know, it's something that a lot of hard work was put in by a lot of different people in a lot of different departments. Took a lot of time to determine through leaders, as y'all spoke about on the call, learning directly from customers and what resonates with them, what consultants feel that they're comfortable and could offer their customers, and I think the team nailed it, and they put out just the perfect product for this time to get people excited to begin and go build their business, and we're seeing it, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, it was so refreshing to hear the excitement in people's voice and to see the numbers begin to tick back up and everything. One last quick thing that kind of surprised me in the feedback I got, and maybe you can mention to it, and then we're going to move on to the other markets outside of Texas, which is the main purpose of having you on the call today. But I was kind of surprised that people were surprised that the renewal rate is a couple of ticks higher than the introductory rate. And it surprised me because it's been like that since the beginning of time at Ambit Energy. It was almost like people reacted that was some change. And in fact, the delta has been much reduced over what it's been in the past as well. So did you get some of that reaction as well?
I did, and we did over the years. People forget about the renewal part of this. Ambit's always been the practice of offering the absolute best possible rate to help acquire customers. As you know, it's difficult to get out there and speak to folks and stand apart with all the different competitors, certainly in Texas where you have about 50 different competitors out there. So renewal rates, are always still very, very good. But they've always been different than the acquisition rates. They've always been, as you said, a tick higher. We're not talking, a penny or even that high. It's just fractions of a cent. But that's the way it's always been. And so it doesn't surprise me. We get the questions, but when we spoke to leaders about it, they understood pretty quickly, how that process works. It's not a price gouge. It's a very, very competitive rate. It's just a fraction of a cent, a little bit more than the acquisition. But that's part of the practice. That's part of this business. It's the way we've always operated. It's certainly nothing new that's unique to this new product. But people caught on pretty quick and realized that and moving forward.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for everybody on the call to understand that, when Vistra goes through or Ambit goes through their complex modeling of cost and expenses and profit margins sort of thing, that one of the ways that it's historically done it, which is going to lead me into the Northeast markets, is there's always an introductory rate, and then after that initial term is over, the consumer has the ability to renew that term, but if they choose not to renew or renew the contract, rather, if they choose not to renew, then they go on to a default rate. And that's what I wanted to talk about next. And Daryl, I know we've got some brand new people on the call. We have some seasoned people on the call. So for those people that are newer on the call and for those people that have been in the business for a while, what I want to say in this next topic is, as it affects us today as consultants in the field, so if you're in the Midwest, in the Illinois, Indiana markets, up in that part of the country, or the Ohio markets going over to the Mid-Atlantic and up into the Northeast, if you're in any of those markets outside of Texas, what has happened, previous to Vistra acquiring the company is, when somebody did not renew their contract and they went to the default renewal rate, those renewal rates were pretty high, and it caused a lot of consternation in the customer base. They would get their bill and go, okay, what's going on here? And in a lot of instances, it would get them upset enough where they would leave the service. And so, that from a historical perspective. If one were to go out, put a new consultant into the business today and begin to gather customers, that two-year renewal happens 24 months down the road. And so the renewal rate, or what we're going to talk about next, really has no effect on what it is today or how it's handled today. So I wanted to kind of, you know, set this up by saying that, you know, and I know one of the things that you're going to say, Daryl, is Vistra is very committed to, you know, working on those renewal rates and possibly even coming up with new ways that we do business. But what I know, one of the things that I've learned in just the last month or so is I've began to work a little bit closer with Vistra and coming up with some solutions to different areas that are going to help the business move forward is, you know, I've realized that there are huge complexities in the Midwest and the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeastern markets. And so I thought we'd start off there. If you talk a little bit about the complexities of those markets and how it affects this renewal rate and how we do it.
Yeah, and I got some text that was hard to hear before. So if I'm leaned on Bear to keep me honest, hopefully I've increased my volume and you can hear me a little bit better now. Is it better?
Yes.
All right. Very good.
All right. Brian, I think you have to go back and you look at, you know, what people's kind of just general knowledge is of Ambit and the markets we're in. And you got to start kind of breaking it down and thinking about, you know, how many different variables there are that go in to kind of make this company run and set pricing and not only acquisition, but the different product types and then renewal rates and rollover rates. And, you know, a lot of people look at the business presentation, you know, certainly if you're new on this call, and you see 16 states, you know, and they include D.C., so you got 17 kind of major markets. When in reality, you know, we're talking about 80 different individual markets within those 16 states. And certainly when you get outside of Texas, each and every market in the state and even markets within the state, they all operate differently. You know, the difference between deregulation with telecom and energy is, you know, telecom was kind of this, you know, federal across the board, everybody was on the same playing field, whether you're in Texas or California or New York, it was what it was. And the same rules applied across the board. And that's not the way it is with energy. States can choose to deregulate. There's states like New York that decide and it's not law. In other markets, they voted in by the people and decide to deregulate. But then how they deregulate, which markets they deregulate, and how they operate is completely different. And so, you know, for years, Ambit, you know, that's why it's so much time and money to invest to go into a new market, because what you have to end up doing is figure out how do you make our system plug into their system and operate the way they operate and offer products that compete in those 80 different individual markets. And so, you know, even just kind of give someone kind of even more of the size, just with those 80 markets, you know, our product group handles about 3,000 or a little bit more customer documents. And so when you think about every month having to adjust rates based on market cost and looking ahead or updated terms of service, creating a new product, it's not just something on a website. There's a lot that has to go into it, which is the time that people don't understand in a lot of cases why it takes so much time to get those things out. It's just very, very complicated. You know, but when you get into the Northeast and Midwest, Northeast markets, you know, a lot of them are just completely different. Some of them you can price month to month and you can go. You can compete with term products. In other markets, you have tariff rates where, you know, incumbents, utilities, you know, post a rate that is fixed and they're committed to for either 6 months or a year at a time. And that's the rate that you're going to get with the utility. And in most of those cases, it's at cost or very near cost. And usually these tariff rates, they lock you in. And you'll see it. If you're from these markets, you know what I'm talking about. They publish it and say, okay, on July, you know, 1st, rate's going to change to this, and that's going to be in effect until January, you know, 1st, and then we're going to change the rate again. And then about a month and a half before that January deadline comes, they tell you what the new rate's going to be. The way that works is they're looking at what their costs are, and they're projecting out and they see what their cost was in the last 6 months when they had a rate, and did they sell more, did they sell less, and then they set a new rate based on those costs and they post it. And what happens for competitors like Ambit and other players in the market is it's not really reflective of actual energy costs today. And so when we go in and you post a rate, you're trying to be competitive against the utility's tariff rate, which may or may not be above or below actual energy cost. And so you have a lot of difficulty throughout the year to kind of just manage the book to make sure you're staying above water, that you're offering something competitive. And so it creates a lot of challenges in each of the different markets. And most of the challenges are because of the way the markets are deregulated.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's times in some of those markets where we're kind of lower on the list, you know, where, you know, there are a bunch of people that are cheaper than we are. And then there are other times where we're, you know, number two or three or four on the list where, you know, we've just got this killer rate. And I think a lot of times, you know, us as consultants, we don't realize that that's not necessarily something that Ambit chose one way or another. You know, a lot of it has to do with that incumbent pricing and where it's pricing relative to what we can actually buy gas for. And sometimes it falls our direction, sometimes it doesn't fall our direction. But, you know, I think it speaks loudly to, you know, what's occurred as a consultant in Texas. And, you know, it's not all about price, you know, it's all about asking somebody to do you a favor. And certainly I'm not discounting the price. I mean, we have to have a competitive price. That's why we changed our pricing in Texas on Wednesday, because we had just gotten to a place where we weren't competitive anymore. So there's always got to be that competition. But in some of those markets, and correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, you can't just arbitrarily go in and change your pricing overnight.
No, there's in a lot of markets, you know, like I'll use California as an example. You get to post, you have a window every month that you get to post a rate. And so you look at it, you forecast your cost. All of the competitors put in their rate. And in that particular market, PG&E, they get the last shot at the rate. So really they get to see competitors' rates before they post their rate for the next month. And so that makes it very challenging to be competitive. You put in what your cost is, and if they so choose, they could post something a little bit less. And so you have once a month, and you have a, you know, 3 to 5 day window to post that. Again, you've got certain markets like Connecticut that tariff rates every 6 months. And, you know, 6 months out of the year, like you said, it might be in our favor based on what their costs were the previous 6 months. And so we can come in and offer a better rate against their tariff rate. But in the next 6 months, they make an adjustment. They made a little bit more money, so they're giving some back because they sell at cost. And now we are pretty far away from them. And so, you know, I think because you mentioned Texas, and, you know, Texas kind of went through this because they were really deregulated probably really the right way, where, you know, they broke up into threes, and there's a delivery company, there's a retail provider, and there's generation. And so they're all separated from each other. But outside of Texas and most of these markets, you know, the delivery company is still a retail company. And so we're paying them to bill for our customers. They make money that way. They make money, you know, collecting for us and sending stuff. And so it's very difficult in a lot of these markets to go in and just compete against the utility on price alone, because, you know, it's how we knew it. It's how we started. But I think there is a transition happening. Again, the folks in Texas got a little head start on this because it's just so much competition. Just trying to compete on rate, it doesn't work. And I think where we're blessed is to be a part of a parent company that has really perfected, you know, the innovating a product and finding out what customers really, really want. And in most cases, it's not based on an energy rate. It's based on how a product makes them feel. how the company makes them feel. And they've perfected that, and it's why they have such a great ability to retain customers. And I think, you know, once we continue to work with these markets and fight the regulations that are there and fight for change, we'll get to see some of that innovation and that expertise and take advantage of it.
Let's talk about that a little bit, you know, from a regulatory perspective. You know, it's obviously huge. First and foremost, you've got to be compliant and, you know, play that game. And that's put through a set of rules that's different in each of these 80 different markets. And it's a different umpire, if you will, that's making the decisions in each of those markets. Talk a little bit about the difference between the regulatory approach in Ambit Energy prior to the Vistra acquisition, and then let's talk about, you know, when we merged with Vistra, you know, what does it look like today? Talk about those differences.
Yeah, it's night and day, and, you know, it's no say anything negative about, you know, Ambit side. Ambit just was not in a position or have a department that was dedicated to really, you know, having a voice at the table in the meetings where they talk about regulatory rules and changes, and really just creating fair competition is probably the best way to say it. You know, it's Ambit was very reactionary. It was making sure that we were aware of the regulations and that we played according to the rules that were set forth in each market, and making sure that our documents were up to date and compliant. We're doing all the things we should be to be the finest, most respected company. And we did it really, really well. And, you know, and thanks to a lot of people that put a lot of hard work on the Ambit side to make sure we're compliant and adjusted to the changes that happen quite frequently, and certainly in the last couple of years. But what Ambit never had, that Vistra has, is a department that's dedicated, you know, to have boots on the ground, speaking with politicians and the regulators, and sitting in meetings and participating in hearings, you know, to really fight for true competition. And, you know, I think Scott mentioned it last week, and I know he's mentioned it before and probably simulcast. You know, there's a team of at least 15 individuals in their governmental and regulatory affairs, and they have a constant voice in all of these markets. And I know the executives of the company spend a lot of their time traveling and talking to whether it's governors or just people in high positions that can affect change, and really just dedicated to making sure that these markets are open for true competition. You know, I don't want to keep comparing it to Texas, but it works really, really well. You know, in Japan, deregulated, you know, they use the model from Texas as the guide, and there's a reason for it. And so, you know, where Ambit, you know, did all the work to comply and stay within the rules and do it the right way, we now have a huge team that's dedicated to actually affecting change, and they're doing that. And so it's completely different than what it was. They want competition. They're speaking up in hearings, and I think we will definitely see the benefits of that.
Yeah, that kind of brings me up to my next subject that I wanted to talk about. You know, in certain markets, you know, we have guaranteed savings, and then in other markets we don't have guaranteed savings. You know, and I think from the consultant's perspective, it's kind of like, you know, how come guaranteed savings isn't everywhere? And then, you know, why is it here and why is it not there? And, you know, one of the things that was kind of just evolution of thought for me was, you know, kind of look at it as two different types of products. You know, again, for those that are in Texas, it's kind of like you've got the free nights and weekends product, and then you've got a, you know, product that doesn't have free nights and weekends, you know, some other twist to it and everything. And in Texas, there's a multitude of different products, different ways to hook the consumer. And, you know, some are more attractive to a given consumer than others. And, you know, in the other markets outside of Texas, you know, from a consultant's perspective, there's kind of been guaranteed savings markets and then the non-guaranteed savings markets. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I've realized is that, you know, there may be, so if you look at those as products, you know, even though they're defined by state, you know, whether we have it or we don't, or, you know, given incumbent area anyway, if you look at those as a product, kind of like a free night and weekend is in Texas, you know, I think that there's always the possibility that, you know, we bring in something new and innovative. So talk a little bit about the product development at Ambit Vistra versus the product development of the old Ambit, if you will, and the innovation that exists there and the data mining and the different approaches they take than the old Ambit did.
Yeah, you know, it's probably one of the things that I was most impressed with, and just my eyes opened up to another side of information that we probably just at Ambit didn't, you know, spend a lot of time on. Probably lots of reasons. Again, it's not a negative statement in any way. But, you know, Vistra is, you know, no doubt the leader in creating innovative products that consumers want, you know. And I think it all goes back to the mindset of the team where, you know, they don't just create a product and put it out there on the shelf and see who picks it up. They go and they learn from customers directly and say, what do you want? What's important to you? And they determine those factors that resonate most, and they create a product that hits all those marks. And at the end of the day, the consumers eat it up. They love it. And the consumers don't care about a rate that's posted on EFL because it hits all the things that are important to them, whether that's, you know, consistent bill amount each month, whether that's I can handle the fluctuation during the fall, winter, and spring, but those summer months will kill me, and so I need something that gives me, you know, a pass during those months. And I just want the best rate after that. And so they learned from those customers. And Ambit just didn't have the model or the system set up to learn and have that knowledge. But we have it now, you know. And I think it's, you know, probably the most exciting thing that can happen to the Midwest and Northeast markets is this innovation that exists and is waiting to be unleashed in these markets. You know, Ambit, you know, we'll talk about guaranteed savings specifically. You know, it was a product that was created out of necessity, quite frankly, in these markets where the utility of the incumbent provider is charging at cost and making no money on the rate they sell. So whatever they purchase at is what they resell, and they make money on the delivery and then billing and collecting and the delivery fees that the other retailers pay. Some of that's, I think, mandated in some markets. And so how do you come in and offer a product, certainly in our early days, a no-name company, when we first launched in these markets, to get someone's attention? And, you know, a competitor can't come in and just sell at cost. It just doesn't work. Anybody who's owned the business knows that if you buy your widget for $10, you can't sell it for $10 and keep your doors open. It just doesn't work that way. You have to create some margin to help with your operating cost and your employee cost and innovation cost and everything you need to be a better company and grow your base. And so a lot of these markets, just the way they're structured, that's what it's forcing you to do, to sell your widget for $10 when you bought it for $10. And so the guaranteed savings product was created, you know, to be able to offer that $10, but the end result is, you know, if people roll over and the variable tends to, you know, jump up, you know, and in some cases, you know, it's could be fairly dramatic. You know, of course, you got to take into account that, you know, energy prices change throughout the year, and the rate that someone's getting, you know, today is not going to be the same they're going to get the next week, and we see markets where it jumps, you know, 2 or 3 cents month after month. And so, but to come in and sell at cost and really not make a lot of money, if anything, during the first year, you know, it brings out the necessity to make some on the rollover. And so we know the situations that creates, but that's kind of just the nature of that product. And so, you know, the beauty is having, you know, these teams out there fighting for change and true competition so that we can do what Vistra has proven to be able to do is bring true innovative products where the customer's not focused on what the rate is or what's on the EFL. It hits all the marks that make them feel good about the company and all the things that help their household afford energy and feel good about it.
Yeah, and I think the example, you know, the first example of, you know, how it affects us as Ambit consultants happened on Wednesday. We had an extremely innovative product that took a while to really do the market research, get the data, run the figures, make sure the profitability was there, make sure that the commissions and bonuses could still be paid and everything. But the end result of that was an innovation of a three-year product in Texas that we've never had before. So there was not anticipation going into this that we're going to have a three-year product. And you look at that from the consultant's perspective, and that locks, it's a win-win-win. The consumer wins because they're locked into the three summers of Texas heat at a fixed rate. So they're not going to get that bump every year where, you know, they get messed over financially. The company wins, you know, a little bit lower margins than in the previous product, but they're still making a profit. We just got to bring them more customers, and we won as consultants, you know. And so, you know, look at that innovation as proof positive of, you know, and what excites me at looking at these markets outside of Texas as that same process, that same innovative process goes into effect. You know, very well could come out with a product that's not anywhere close to what we have today. You know, guaranteed savings, like you said, was kind of a necessity to compete in some of these markets where we're disadvantaged from timing wise with the rates and so on and so forth. So we had something that we could use. But, you know, I'm really excited about letting the process evolve, and it's not going to be a matter of a few weeks. You know, this we're talking about months, but, and I don't know, and I know you can't make a commitment as to timing, but, you know, it's, you know, who knows, might be, you know, some announcement and ambition. It might be after ambition, might be before ambition, might be next year sometime. But this is what I know, is if you're going out and you're marketing to those customers in those markets now, the roll-off rate that exists today or any issues that exist for it in different markets is not going to exist for the customers you go and acquire today. So I really think there's, you know, there's people that are going to sit back and go, well, you know, until they fix this particular issue in my particular market, you know, I love Ambit and everything, but I'm going to press the hold button because I don't like the feeling of a customer calling me up and go, what's going on with this rate? And though that will occur for a period of time on existing customers, my point is it's not going to occur for the customers you sign up today, because the new innovative products, the new roll-off rates, the default rates and all that is going to be totally different by the time these customers renew. And so there's two types of people. There's the ones that are going to sit back and just push the pause button and stay on pause until they can get their arms around exactly what that looks like. And then there are going to be other people, and these people are going to make a lot more money. There are going to be other types of people that are going to go about building their business, start some new teams, use the dynamics of the COVID-19 pandemic that's going on in this country right now. We have so many people unemployed, so many people, you know, worried about money, and giving them the opportunity to go out and make money and not get constrained from the past. So I'm personally excited, you know, kind of having a little bit of a peek inside, as I'm personally excited to see what sort of products are going to be developed that are different than what we're used to today, you know, because everybody jumps up and down in certain markets, and not in all the markets, but in certain markets, hey, this roll-off rate's too high, and, you know, we've got to do a stage thing, and, you know, so much when they roll off. And you know, one of the things I learned as well is all the billing arrangements of all these 80 different people at Bill Force are all different as well. Sometimes we have the ability to do a graduated roll-off rate. And in other markets, you get one rate, one roll-off rate, that's it. So, you know, there's just a lot of moving, a lot of moving parts out there. And, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit with regard to billing and how that works and how it's so different. And then also the effect that has in the way we have to process our data and create the call records going into the incumbents, where we have to create the billing record and internally all the changes that have to occur within all those 80 different markets with, you know, the possibility of different products as well, Daryl.
Yeah, you know, and I can give you some high-level stuff that I can quickly get out of my knowledge zone, because, you know, that's why we have, you know, tons of people at the office that are experts in this and know it intimately much more than I do. But, you know, from, you know, just being around this, you know, there's kind of two types of markets. There's, you know, bill ready, and then there's a rate ready. And, you know, bill ready market is where, you know, you send them, you know, you do, Ambit does all, they send you the usage, you do the calculations, you kick it back and say, this is what you need to put on the bill. You know, then there's rate ready where, gosh, I could probably have those backwards. We actually just post the rate, and they take care of the calculations. They put it on the bill, and they get it. You know, so you're going back and forth to different markets to decide whether we have to do the calculations and send it back based on the current rate, or do we just post a rate, and they do it for us. But these transactions are coming back and forth, you know, daily. And then, you know, and Brian mentioned it, you know, your flexibility of what you can offer in these markets. You know, there's these things called rate codes, and it's basically, you know, most of you know this, you know, Ambit shows up on a single line item on a particular page on a bill. And that's what we get, you know, and it's, which is, you know, one of the things that makes it so hard to have a good relationship with a customer in a lot of these markets, is because all you get is a line item. You know, we don't bill. We don't get to put in bill our inserts and communicate with our customers and give them the notices that other, you know, utility providers can do. But, you know, specifically to the rate codes, it's, you know, it's kind of, what do you get? You know, you can have one, you know, and in some markets you get one, and your acquisition is the same as your variable rate. In other markets, you may have two, to where you can have a acquisition offer, and then you have a rollover rate offer, those who go to the variable plan and fail to renew. In other markets, you may have as many as you ask for, and so you could do different things there, but they're all different, and they can be different within the same state. And so it is a challenge. It's very hard, and, you know, where Ambit has historically tried to keep this as simple as possible, which is part of the GSP product, is, you know, to get into these different 80 different markets and have, you know, 40 different product types and different ways of handling customers, be very difficult for an individual consultant, because, you know, people build across borders and in different markets, and then to just understand that can get very, very complicated. And so historically, we've chosen to try to keep it as simple as possible. But there's give and takes that come with that. And so, you know, I think, you know, what the commitment is, you know, to go through these markets and understand where can we shift, what can we do, what makes sense, that resonates and still keeps this understandable and, you know, trainable for the average consultant to pick up and say, okay, now I've got a relative that lives in, you know, Maryland. You know, do I have to need to go through a 2-hour training course on all the different ways that things happen there? And so, but it's all being looked at, you know, and Brian knows this, the commitment there, and you've seen it come to fruition in Texas, is to evaluate everything. You know, it's never was Ambit's, and I know for sure it's not Vistra's mentality or business practice to price gouge or jack up rates and run customers off. You know, that's bad business. No one ever wants to bring in a customer with the intention to try to squeeze them and know that they're going to run off with a bad experience. No company knows that more than Vistra. You know, they do too much consumer insights and study of customer behavior and talking to the customer. They know this. And so I think what everybody needs to be comfortable with and understand and trust that what products do come and where the innovation, it'll be based on facts and what customers want. And, you know, and I think we're going to see some great things. And, yes, it'll take time because of the complexities and just all the different markets. You know, something that's good takes time to build, but there's a team committed to providing these things. And so I think you're right, Brian. It's, you know, you got to not worry about the 24 months from today. You've got to focus on today so that you can start growing your business again.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, consultants in one particular market, pick one, they're saying, you know, well, how come it's like this for us? And how come this market over here is, you know, so much better, you know, whether it be price competitive or, you know, how it's structured or roll off rate or whatever it is. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to do on the call tonight for all the people that are working outside of the Texas market is really try to, you know, open up the information flow from Vistra and Ambit Corporate, and, you know, let people kind of hear it from the horse's mouth, if you will. They'll be a very handsome horse with very little hair. We'll kind of hear it from the horse's mouth to better understand, or at least have an appreciation for the process, you know. And again, from my perspective, as I've gotten inside and learned more and more myself, is what excites me is the innovation, the matriculation of the data, you know, real market. You know, this isn't a guessing game, right? I mean, when it's all said and done, one of the reasons that the product launch in Texas has been so uber successful and so many people excited about it and so many people going back to work. And, you know, for those that aren't going to go back to work, they're going to look up, you know, around Ambition or later and go, why did I just go back to work instead of, you know, sitting around watching it happen? Why didn't I go make it happen? But you're always going to have those people. But just the influx of people back into the marketplace in Texas, you know, I look at it and say, okay, it was worth the wait. You know, I mean, a lot of market research, a lot of financial data process, make sure everybody is going to have a win-win-win situation. And now it's back up and running, and it's kind of like a slingshot effect. And so, you know, one of the purposes, and I you know, appreciate you getting on and discussing, I think you've done a great job with it, is to talk about the complexities, but then understand the strength of Ambit Vistra and the opportunity that's going to be created over the next several months in those markets, coupled with the fact that there's no reason not to go work the markets today. You know, the markets are viable. You have guaranteed savings. Go find some people that are on the incumbent. They're going to get guaranteed savings, and let's go to work. I think the thing, I know the thing that's held so many people back is, I don't want this roll-off experience, and not in every market, but in some of the markets. And so the other point before I let you go, Daryl, that I wanted to make was, you know, I wanted everybody on this call to walk away from the call understanding the complexities, looking forward to the opportunities, but also understanding that the opportunity starts now. You know, it's not next week or next month, or I'm going to wait for Ambition, and, you know, that's when they make all the big announcements. You know, you and Scott and Sydney and all public appearances have said, hey, we're not going to sit back and wait on things we can release now for Ambition announcements. Are there going to be Ambition announcements? But they're going to be the announcement that just kind of happened to time into Ambition. So there's no waiting. There's huge opportunity in the marketplace today. And you know, I think the message that I heard, and I hope everybody on this call heard, Daryl, loud and clear, was, you know, the issues we have are going to be highly researched. Innovative new products are going to come out. And the issues that we have today are not going to be the issues we have tomorrow. And, you know, from a priority perspective, since the profitability and market size of Texas with relative to the health of the company, you know, it was first, you know, everybody that's in those Northeast and Midwest and Mid-Atlantic markets now have living proof that, that Vistra does what Vistra said it was going to do. And the bottom line is, do not wait. Get up, get to work, and get out there and get it done. You know, one last thing I'd like you to comment on, Daryl, before I let you go, is that, you know, you're the VIP of field development and support. And I want to take that last part of your title, support, and just have you talk a little bit about maybe some of the differences and resources that are available from the support perspective, you know, not only for the customer, but for Ambit consultants as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we've been dependent on our consultant support group, you know, for providing the daily assistance and support. And we've been pretty limited past that, and, you know, and usually every call that consultant support get, I've always said, is either because of something that that the other side of us put out or failed to put out, you know. And but I think, you know, where you may be going with this is, you know, the support that we have now is, you know, one, we have a much bigger team in corporate office and staff with so much more experience. I mean, when you think about our parent company, they're 100-year-old company, and they've got roots in Texas and just experts in this energy field. And trendsetters and innovators. And so, you know, what we have at our disposal now that we've just never had is just the intel and the information, you know, and kind of at the forefront of this, you know, competition that we can then take and pull through Eric Johnstone's group to create training aids and tools to really properly educate and train a consultant on the best ways to grow this business. And so I think you and Eric did a fabulous job with the training last Monday night on the new product. If people aren't using those materials, you really should go get those. But you're going to see a lot more of that stuff. You know, that's our goal, is to really amp up the training and information and create a much more knowledge base for consultants to grow this business. You know, we can do that with the support from so many different departments that we have access to that we just didn't have at Ambit, you know. You know, Ambit grew big for what we knew Ambit to be in the office, you know. But now, you know, we went from a 600-employee company to, you know, well over 5,000 across the U.S. and certainly, you know, double or triple our size that we had just right here in the Dallas area. And, you know, and these people have been here for decades and, you know, so much information. And so it's the exciting thing on our side to have access to this knowledge and expertise that we can then couple with how we do business and the direct sales model and really create new innovative tools and trainings and way to just really, as you said, slingshot your business. And so hopefully hit the point that we're trying to make there. But it's truly a partnership, and it's one company, and we're really excited about what's to come.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about, you know, what it's been to date, even though from a consultant's perspective, maybe it hasn't been as enlightening and there's some frustration there, but from, you know, the launch of what I consider, and of course the retention program was fantastic, that was announced at Simulcast by Sydney, and a lot of other innovative things that have been going on behind the scenes that just are making it better and better and better. But, you know, now with the new product in Texas, what's getting ready to happen, you know, you put the support and the strength of Vistra behind that, you know, like you say, just in sheer numbers of being able to get stuff done, but the way that data is processed and how that's integrated into the support and then re-communicated. And the last point I'd like to make for on the call, that's for all the consultants, is that, you know, you look at the market today and, you know, thank God that Jerry in particular, and Chris as well, you know, had the insight to understand, hey, the market's changing, you know, it's time to move the company on and put it into safe harbor, as Jerry called it, you know. But that safe harbor is not only safe harbor, but it's the ability to pull in that harbor and revamp the entire ship, so that instead of a schooner from, you know, the Civil or the Revolutionary War days, you know, we have a nuclear aircraft carrier of today, and God knows what's going to happen in the future. It's really, really been enlightening, that change. And, you know, with the difference in the marketplace today versus before, we've always tried to keep it simple in our product set, as you mentioned, and in our training. But, you know, the market is a little bit different, and, you know, informing the consultants a little bit more. I don't think there's anybody that'll get off this call that didn't say that was very informative. You know, maybe a little boring, but informative. And the training that Eric and I did last Monday night on the Zoom, you know, that was never done before a product release ever in the history of the company, you know. And so the market is different. Understanding a market's different. And so just all the support that's coming up with the strength, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I talk about building, you know, your business, and that people you put on your first level of your business or your foundation. Well, with that foundation, if you take time to build that foundation, you put the rebar in, you form it up, you make sure it's all level, versus just building on a pile of sand that was spread by a bulldozer, and all of a sudden you're pouring concrete and thinking you're going to be able to build the Taj Mahal on it. Yeah, you can build a nice building, but 5 years, 10 years down the road, you start to see the cracks and the price that you pay for that. And I kind of look at Vistra as, you know, we're putting 2x12s up for the foundation, you know, and, you know, not 2x6s, but 2x12s. And we're putting 5 times the amount of rebar, and we're using innovative concrete that has certain properties that regular concrete wouldn't have. We're building the foundation that, in my opinion, will, you know, in essence, relaunch the company with momentum, the likes of which we've never seen before. And we've seen some awesome years of some awesome momentum. And, you know, from my vantage point, because of the new technology and the new methodology and the way that our business is being structured moving forward, I'll put it this way, our future is so bright, you better get some sunglasses, because it's exciting, and it's been really great working with everybody at Vistra, and of course continuing to work with you and Eric to work on some things, you know. And there are a lot of things that are in the works right now, not for tonight's call, but in future calls we'll talk about just one improvement after another that doesn't have anything to do with the product, but has to do with systems and how the business is built, and you know, innovations in the compensation plan and other things. You know, all these things are put through a new methodology that to me is just so refreshing, and what's going to happen is that foundation is going to be built so strong, God knows we can build a skyscraper on it, and us as consultants, that's our job, is to start to build it. And you know, the foundation is being laid as we speak, and there are parts of the foundation that are ready to be built on right now, and there are other parts of the foundation that are going to be, you know, the second pour and the third pour and the fourth pour, and going to be additions to what we have now. So I really appreciate, Daryl, you getting on the call. I appreciate personally, because I get to see it, you know, the number of hours that you put in, you know, in your position, at Ambit, and also Eric, you know, you guys are just Trojans, and you do a great job, have for years, and continue to always look through the pair of glasses that say what's best for the consultants, what's best for the consumers, and always create that win-win proposition for everybody. Company wins, consultants win, and the consumer wins. So I really, really appreciate you hopping on the call, and not only this call, but all the other calls you've been doing as well. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Brian. And it's been a pleasure working close with you for, well, 12 years, and even closer the last couple months. And so, but yeah, I mean, we're here for y'all. And it's why we get up every day to do this. And we love everything about you and what you do for this company. And so that's our mission, is to keep this to be the best provider out there. And we're going to do it every day.
Well, great. I appreciate it. Thank you. And for everybody that's on the call, if you saw the email, you know, the second topic of tonight's call was going to be, you know, how to create breakthroughs in the midst of breakdown. And we've run a little bit longer with all the great information that Daryl has shared, and me running my big mouth more than I probably should have on the call. But I thought that was really important. So we're gonna push that off and do that next week. And actually, I'm not gonna promise this, and you'll get an email on it. But actually, thinking about if we could next week also do Zoom call into the Business Builder call for the first time. There's some graphs I'd like to show you with regard to talking about how to create breakthrough in the midst of a breakdown. So rather than go on to an hour and a half call tonight, let's push that topic off till next week. And again, I want to really thank our very special guest tonight, Daryl Starkweather, VP of Field Development and Support, for hopping on the call. And guys, I can tell you, we have one job and one job only. That's to go find a few people and help them gather a few customers. You know, a lot of businesses are a little slow. The COVID-19 pandemic, you know, coronavirus thing has changed the way we're doing business. There are tons of Zoom calls. There's tons of ways for you to build your business. And I'm telling you, there's some people that are exploding their checks. I got several emails this week, biggest weekly check I've gotten in years, literally a couple of them, you know, biggest ones I've gotten this year. You know, bottom line is there are people out building and understanding the new technology and how to build the business. Obviously, we're not doing in-homes. Obviously, we're not doing hotel meetings. So our methodologies have changed some. And I'm telling you, the people that are taking advantage of it, I don't think they'll ever go back to the old way of building. You know, I think that hotel meetings are probably the dinosaur. You know, we might have big hotel gathering every once in a while, but I don't think for the foreseeable future you're going to get people to go to hotel meetings. Not as much as in homes. I think people will be a little bit more comfortable with that. You'll see that come back a little bit quicker. But don't sit back and watch. You know, we have the ability to go build our business today. The fall off rate in the states outside of Texas are not applicable. All that's going to get fixed, renovated, redone, reissued. It's going to be dynamic. And it's already happened with our biggest holdback in Texas, which was the rate. That's over with. It's time to just do simple things. And when in doubt, you know, people, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Show the plan, show the plan, show the plan, show the plan. And when you get sick and tired of showing the plan, show the plan some more. How do you show the plan today? You show it over the internet. If you're not familiar with that, you need to hop on some of these Zoom calls, go to some of these group Facebook sites, and there's a whole litany of opportunity to get people onto Zoom calls. There's a whole bunch of recorded ones out there where you can send the link. They can watch a recorded Zoom call, or, you know, you can decide you want to take charge of your business and get an experiment with Zoom if you're not familiar with it and do them yourself. And I think what you'll see is you'll see some evolution in those Zoom calls, and they'll get better and better and better and better and more interactive and more like an actual meeting. So with that, Bear, I'm going to call it a night. I thank everybody for getting on the call. If you'd open it back up, let everybody say thank you to our special guest, Daryl Starkweather, for getting on with us tonight.
I will do, Brian. Thank you, Daryl, for being on the call. And just want to remind everybody very quickly that you can hear a recording of this call at topambitleaders.com. Check on it tomorrow or Tuesday for sure. We'll get this up so that you can get this information out to some of your team that may not have made the call. I'm going to open up the lines, and we're going to say thank you to Daryl and Brian, and you guys have a great week. Hold on.